gifts. Good morning, Father, Son. Thank you for feeding all living things on earth. Thank you, plant kingdom. Thank you, trees and plants, for converting the sun's light into edible foods that we can consume and digest, and for providing oxygen in the air that we breathe. Good morning, water. Thank you for being 75% of our body. We are one, and we bless you and protect you because we cannot live without you. Good morning, animal kingdom. Thank you for your companionship, your beauty and splendor, and for your sacrifice of life so that we may eat and live. Thank you, great spirit that moves in all things. Thank you for our lives and for the opportunity to be here and to be of service in this sacred earth garden of life. Thank you, thank you, thank you. Good morning and welcome to Shaman's Keep. This is Caroline Wise King, your host, and I'm glad to say that the world is still turning, the sun is still shining, and it's not the end of the world, it's the eve of a new age. Do you understand that? The calendar just flipped a page, and just like New Year's Eve, we can celebrate today, celebrate this beautiful garden earth and the fact that we're all still alive. The sun is shining. The birds are singing. The flowers are blooming. So welcome. Now, I have a wonderful guest with us today. And this is very exciting for me because one of my first teachers of Native American spirituality was Sun Bear. And so today I have with us Wabun Wind. She is a journalist and author, and was medicine helper to Sun Bear for almost 25 years. Sun Bear was a Chippewa Indian visionary, and he formed the Bear Tribe Medicine Society, and I think it was around 1970. Together, they wrote several books about Native American spirituality, and they conducted medicine wheel gatherings all over the world. Sun Bear's vision saw a future where all people of every nationality would live together in peace and harmony as one big family tribe, hence his creation of the Bear Tribe, which accepted members from all cultures and every walk of life. Wabun and Sun Bear were the first, well, they were really the forerunners and catalyst of this great awakening that began in the early 70s and is now really sweeping the world. So welcome to Shaman's Keep, Wabun.
Thank you so much for having me, and thank you for that beautiful prayer to begin today and a very gracious introduction.
Well, you're welcome. It's really an honor to have you on. And I know you have so much wisdom to share with us today. But first, I would like to know a little more about your background. I know you started out as a journalist, right?
Correct. I have a master's degree from Columbia Graduate School of Journalism. And I heard about Sun Bear when I was in California researching my first book, which was about radical lawyers from the ACLU left. And I heard that he was an 80-year-old Hopi who was bringing together a tribe of reincarnated Indians. And it sounded fascinating. I was looking for a spiritual path. I had been down quite a few, and they were good, but they did not feel like the right one for me. And so I wrote to the Bear Tribe and heard that Sun Bear was taking a cross-country trip to introduce his ideas to people about the Bear Tribe, and offered that he could stay with me in New York City, which is where I was living when he came there, and figured I'd do a magazine article about his work. So when he came to the door, he was a 41-year-old Ojibwa, not an 80-year-old Hopi. And we had an immediate soul connection. And that was the beginning of what I call my second life in this lifetime.
Mm-hmm.
The connection was so strong, and I felt the work he was doing was so important that I finished up my obligations for books and articles in New York, which took me about 6 months. And then I went out west to join the Bear Tribe. And that was, mm-hmm. believe me, a massive life change.
Oh, I believe it. Because, and, you know, no doubt it was fate that brought you two together. Because once you teamed up together, his vision coupled with your writing skills launched his teachings. I mean, really, onto the world stage.
Yes.
At least that's the way I saw it.
Yes, we definitely had a very important life path together, and
mm-hmm.
one that taught me just so much walking it about life, about all of the kingdoms on the earth. I didn't know about all the kingdoms of the earth. I did not know a whole lot about what Native American people believed. I got to learn it through seeing through Sunbear's eyes. And I also had the very good fortune of traveling a lot with him to powwows and Native events and having the opportunity to meet a lot of other elder Native people. And I was 26 at the time. And because by nature I listen, which probably won't be obvious talking today, and a lot of the young people at that point weren't listening to their elders. They were grateful, which I understand now as an elder, to have young people, a young person who wanted to learn from them. And so they very generously taught me a great, great deal.
Well, I'm sure it was a sort of a culture shock, because here you were, a blonde white woman with a journalistic goal to, you know, make yourself someone in the journalism field. And here's Sun Bear, a full-blooded Indian. And I'm sure that the two cultures coming together like that, it must have been quite a shock to see this totally different way of life.
It was a shock. I mean, within the first few days of being out with Sun Bear and the Bear Tribe, I found myself, it was in winter, in a trailer cutting apart a cow that had been hit by a truck in the road, and the rancher who owned the cow gave it to the Bear Tribe. And here I was, a New Yorker, you know, covered with cow, making meats for the Bear Tribe for the next month.
Oh, my goodness.
That was my kind of first run through the gamut of learning. And
yes.
At that time, interracial relationships were not as common as they were these days. And mm-hmm. both Sun Bear and I got problems, you know, from people who objected to the fact that we were together in any way. I have lots of people try and throw medicine on me, and Sun Bear says, used to tell people, I've had my nose broken twice. The first time was by a white rancher who objected to a Native person being in the restaurant where I was. Mm-hmm. And the second time was by a Native man who objected to my teaching non-Native people.
Mm-hmm. Yes, I believe there was quite a bit of anger, actually, among the tribes, because I read somewhere where they said, well, he's not a chief. How can he start a tribe? He can't start a tribe. And he's selling out our spirituality. And I don't know, I felt that Sun Bear saw a much bigger picture than the average person. He had this huge vision and love that enveloped everyone in the world. And because the Great Spirit loves all creation, right?
Absolutely. He had a very, very large heart.
Mm-hmm.
And he saw people's hearts. He didn't look at people's skin.
Yes.
And the Bear Tribe was a medicine society. He never was trying to start another tribe in the same way that nations that had existed for thousands of years were existing. A medicine society is a group of people within a tribe that would come together because of common goals and interest. And the name of the Bear Tribe was the Bear Tribe Medicine Society. And that's what he was the chief of, the medicine chief.
Right.
And it was his vision, you know, he had begun to have when he was 5 years old, and a vision that unfolded through other visions throughout his lifetime.
Well,
a lot of the traditional elders did support him and did understand. It was more people who were politically oriented that had problems. And, yeah, politics always causes problems.
Right. But the Bear Tribe Medicine Society took in people of all colors and all races. And I think that was kind of disturbing to some Native Americans, too, because they weren't Native Americans. They weren't Indians. They were British and German and French and from all, you know, all over the world that became members of the Bear Tribe.
Right.
And it was such a beautiful concept. And I remember Sun Bear referring to it as the Rainbow Tribe as well.
Yes, he did.
Mm-hmm.
And
well,
that was his vision, that you know all people could come together.
Mm-hmm.
That there was a better way for people to live than the way they were living in the dominant society, or the way they were living in the native societies, as they were in contemporary times. You know, the way things were and still are on a lot of reservations, is very sad. You know, this culture has not been kind to Native people historically.
Yes.
I'm sure most of your listeners know that. And still today, unemployment rates are astronomical on a lot of reservations, and people are living in abject poverty.
Yes,
Sun Bear had worked on reservations trying to help. He worked for the Office of Economic Opportunity at one point with reservations in Nevada, and then he decided the best way he could help them was to give back his job and work with his medicine, work with the visions that he had had of showing people that there was a different way to live, that was based on heart and love and compassion, and not based on what your skin color was or how you know, what tribe or what nationality you had been born.
Mm-hmm. Or what the bottom line figure was, because I know he was very outspoken about the large corporations and everything, and how I think he called them dinosaurs, and this was the age when the dinosaurs would end or die again, and that we were here, we would get to see it during this generation. And we are kind of seeing some of that now, it turns out. But he
Absolutely.
Wanted people to be free. Yeah, I know the book, The Path of Power, that you and he and Barry Weinstock,
who recently passed into spirit also.
Yeah,
is the story of Sun Bear's life, and it's a wonderful book. And luckily, it's just been reissued. Oh dear, my dog is going to want to comment on this. Reissued as an ebook, and it is available threw all the normal resources. If I try and tell the dog to stop barking, she'll only bark more because she thinks I'm barking at her. So,
what kind of dog is this?
We have a very large, not fat, but large standard poodle.
Oh,
named,
okay.
Named Pokola.
I know, it's a Pokola. Well, that's a big bark.
It is a big bark. She's a very good watchdog. In many ways, she reminds me of Mr. Shasta, the great white dog that we had on Vision Mountain. She's a therapy dog, and she is very healing to a lot of people. And Shasta, which was the dog that Sundar and I found in the middle of nowhere, or the dog that found us in the middle of nowhere in view of Mount Shasta, we stopped the car because we thought he was a white wolf. And he came across the road, jumped in the open window of the back seat, and sat down and said, basically, okay, let's go. No collar.
Wow.
No houses for miles and miles and miles around. And he was with us for, I think, at least a decade. And he brought great healing to people. Animals are very healing.
Oh, yes. Yes, I have three large. They're hybrids. They're part wolf and part dog.
Oh.
And they're beautiful. The father was a white, all white. I don't know if he was full-blooded wolf or part German Shepherd, but so these are kind of blonde, but they have the wolf face and the wolf attitude. Okay, but
you'll have to send me a picture or put it up on your website.
Oh,
a
I should do that. Yeah. The wolf side of them is not very open to humans. They're very shy. And they sound great. I mean, they've got big barks, but when someone they don't know comes around, they mostly just want to hide. And I'm like, what kind of watchdogs are you? You know?
Well, nobody's going to mess with something that looks like a wolf.
Oh, you're absolutely right. So, and they've got the big bark too. So, I'm sure that if it came down to it, if I was threatened, they would certainly spring into action.
So, yes, I'm sure that they would.
Yeah. So anyway, getting back to the Path of Power, that was a wonderful book. I'm glad it's been reissued. And I was looking on Amazon; it's got 5 stars. So people out there, you want to get that book. It really is a great book, and he's got so many interesting viewpoints in it.
And wonderful stories. Sun Bear lived a very, very full life, and doing everything from selling Christmas trees to being an actor in cowboy and Indian movies and a technical director to being a medicine man who was known across the world. There still is a very active part of the bear tribe in Germany. And probably there are so many groups that have grown out of the bear tribe that I don't even know what all of them are. When he passed into spirit, you know, some of them changed to some degree, but kept within what they had learned from his vision and carried on the work. And there is... one of his apprentices in Germany has started a wonderful school for children, teaching them what he learned from both Sun Bear and from Tom Brown, the tracker. And there are just groups all over that I'll occasionally get emails from people I haven't heard from in 20 years or only tangentially remember because I met so many people then. We've been to a medicine wheel gathering, and since then, they've been doing ceremonies and building medicine wheels and teaching other people and working with children and just doing wonderful things. A man who studied with us just wrote a book on the sacred pipe. Oh, dear. I should. In fact, I can walk over and get the name of it because it is it's a very good book, and it was just published by Theosophical Press for people who might be interested in reading that. I may as well give him a plug. He was kind enough to dedicate the book to Sun Bear and I, and that was lovely. I've never had a book dedicated to me before. Didn't realize how nice it felt to have that happen.
Yes, that's nice. Wonderful.
And, well, I could go on about literature because I'm a writer, but I'm sure there are other questions. As soon as I pull out this book, I will tell people the name of it.
Okay.
It's The Path of the Sacred Pipe.
Oh, okay.
Journey of Love, Power, and Healing. And the author is Jay Cleave, C-L-E-V-E. And he is a PhD psychologist.
Oh, okay.
Who studied with
Yes.
Us. So,
yes, it's amazing how many highly educated people recognized that Sunbear was bringing such a viable and such a high vision to the world and got on board with him and wanted to follow those principles that he put out.
Absolutely. And many, many people from a wide variety of religions, too. We had a few former nuns who were part of the Bear Tribe, and we had priests and ministers of all kinds who were part of the apprentice program.
So, oh, yeah. Well, I know
rabbis too.
Amazing.
They felt the truth of what Sunbear was teaching about people reconnecting with the earth. And that is really something we should talk about because today is the grandmother of all the holidays this time of year. It's the winter solstice, the day of Earth renewal. And one of the things I learned from Native people was how much we in this culture take things for granted because we're so disconnected from the Earth. Native people did not assume that when the sun, if you lived in the Northern Hemisphere, when the sun had made its journey south, that it would come back and that the cycle of life would continue. They believed that humans had to put in their energy for that to happen. And so this, the shortest day of the year, was a very important day for them because they would fast, and we did this on Vision Mountain too, we would fast for 4 days before the winter solstice. And the night before the winter solstice, we would put out all the fires in the wood stoves, and that was all we had for heat there. Mm. And then the morning of the solstice, we would start a sacred fire for sweat lodges. And from the sacred fire, we would take embers and reignite the fires we had put out in the house. And prior to that, the night before, we would clean everything. That was something that Native people did. They would clean both on an energetic basis and a physical basis, their home, so that you would start the new year or the new age with as much new you as you could.
Yes, and that's beautiful.
Clean a you as you could.
That makes so much sense to me because we do need to let go of a lot of things that we accumulate, stuff, I call it, and it's right. Just stuff. You can't take it with you. And and also to realize that, you know, we need to let go of the past so that we can move into the future. We can't always be living with the things of the past because it holds you back. And so I know he was very adamant about living in the now, wasn't he?
Yes, yes. And not just what he would say, running your old tapes time and time again, which is what a lot of people do. And what I saw a lot of people do at the Bear Tribe, people have a way that they see the world and relate to the world, and they come to a new place. And once they run through that, sometimes if they're incapable of changing, they just leave and go to another new place, because it's easier to change location than to change yourself. And that's why a lot of people are always traveling and looking for new things outside of themselves, rather than recognizing that they can change within themselves.
You know, I think part of that is that people create an image of who they think they are. And if something happens, like has happened with the recession, and it's around the world, but when they lost their jobs or lost their homes or lost, you know, all of these things, and their whole image was tied up with those things, it was very, very hard for some people to be able to readapt and create a new image for themselves. And that's why it's so important to understand that these are, it's all stuff, you know, and and be able to just roll with the flow, whatever is happening, let go of the past and move on. And that's, you know, and that's being in the now and being able to really be fully alive and aware and here now.
Right. And you need to enjoy the stage of life that you're in and be willing to adapt to that as well. I think that I learned a lot about that from Native people, and I learned a lot about the importance of being a hospitable hostess. I was coming out of New York, and I was, you know, into writing a book about radical lawyers, and I was definitely a feminist, and I came to all these Klan mothers who showed me another way to be a strong woman. And there, to be a strong woman, often you need to be willing to sacrifice some of what it is that you want. And that's a very unpopular thing to say these days. But when I look at kids today, and my husband is a child psychiatrist, so I have the opportunity to learn a lot about what happens to a lot of children these days. I realize how critical it is for a child to have parents, be they mother, two mothers, two fathers, mother and father, who are willing to sacrifice some of what they want so that they can give a child the nurturing that a child needs in order to grow into a healthy, happy adult. Most of us coming out of this culture have been so starved for love that we'll do just about anything to get it. The Native clan mothers that I talked to told me that you could never spoil a young child with too much love. And they would, for the first 2 years of the child's life, just the mother and child would have a very strong bond. And they had a village to help raise the child, too.
Yes,
and everybody would love the child. So that the child had a sense of self-worth that you only get from that kind of nurturing when you are very young. And then the child was encouraged to develop and in what I think was a much healthier way. They were encouraged to do whatever it was that made them happy, but also serve the tribe. They were encouraged to go out and seek their vision when they were a young person, and then to follow that vision. They believed that they were part of the earth. They were taught to see what was beautiful each day and then tell the people around them what it was that they saw. One of my spiritual grandmothers, Twyla Nitch, a Seneca woman, used to say you should always ask a child, what did you see today that was beautiful? What did you hear that sounded lovely? What did you touch that felt good? And if you do that with a child, and I did do that with my daughter, you get a much more aware and happy adult than most of the people that I see around. the world now.
Yes, I've noticed there's such a disconnect between parents and children in our current culture because everyone seems to be so busy. The parents are so busy with their jobs and all their commitments, and the children are expected to just, go to school, do what you're supposed to do, and don't bother us too much because we have important things that we're doing. And so right. The children are sort of disenfranchised. And one of the things that's so important for young people, for children, is to have that sense of family. And that creates their own image of themselves as part of a family and or part of a tribe, as you were saying. And I think that's why so many of the teenagers are drawn into the gangs in the cities, because the gang gives them an image and they've got this group that they're a part of and that they feel like they belong to something. And it's because they're not getting that at home, you know?
Right.
So you're absolutely right about what's happening with our young people.
Right.
Well, getting back to you and all the work you did with Sunbear, up to the point that you met, he really had not found his path to launch his vision worldwide, like to step onto the world stage. But it seems that the connection between the two of you somehow opened the gate and paved the way, and it was like putting the pedal to the metal, and his vision vehicle took off. You know, did you realize then that you were going to be part of such a large movement?
No. I just, what Sunbear was teaching seemed to me so much more real than mm-hmm. anything that I had encountered before, that I just wanted to be part of it. I've always had a lot of energy, and Sunbear helped me to channel that energy into very constructive forms. Mm-hmm. And he gave me the opportunity to see my own visions and to fulfill them also. I think that though I was born into a Caucasian society, I was born a clan mother. I'm, by nature, I'm a very nurturing person. And I fought that in the Caucasian culture. And I fought that as, you know, as a New York feminist and writer, because you weren't supposed to be that way. That wasn't a good thing for a woman to do. And
yes,
in the Bear Tribe, I was allowed to do that. I like to be giving to people. I like to nurture people. And gosh, there were so many people that came there that so much needed that.
Yes.
And
they were all looking for the path, you know, the path that
yeah.
would help lead them to a safe place where it would be peaceful and people lived in harmony. And I think that's what the Bear Tribe Medicine Society represented to so many people, that this is real. This is a coming together of people with no agendas except to just live in harmony with the earth.
That definitely was Sunbear's vision. Now, everybody mm-hmm. who came to the Bear Tribe came with their own tapes and consequently their own agenda. And it's difficult to take people out of the culture that is the worldwide culture today and mm-hmm. let them find ways to get along harmoniously. I think I probably have spent, a month of work days in council circle debating what is the fair way to divide doing the dishes. And that sounds silly, and it is silly, but it is things like this that break up families and break up communities.
Mm-hmm.
You know, what is fair? It isn't fair for everybody to be doing the same thing, because not everybody has the same vision. Not everybody
Some
has
people
the
are
same standards of, you know, they want the dishes clean.
And some people are good cooks and others aren't.
And others so, aren't, right. And yeah. Making them cook is making a lot of people suffer.
Yes. Okay.
And we did have that. It is difficult. It was not easy to have people get together in a harmonious way because we are not taught to be harmonious within ourselves.
Yes.
You know, we come from a culture that armors us against all that is real in the world around us. And, mm-hmm. you know, we are not kind to children. And so we raise adults that do the same thing to their children that has been done to them. I consider that the worst old boys network in the world is treating your children the way you were treated if you were not treated well. And I think the radical thing is to be able to break from that and say, mm-hmm. okay, maybe, you know, my parents ignored me and maybe they hit me, but I'm not going to do that to my child.
Yes.
Maybe they wanted me to follow the same life path they were following, but I'm not going to do that to my child. I'm going to let them be who they are. And
yes,
that comes so much easier if you spend some time with the earth, too. And if you teach children that humans are not the be-all and end-all. You know, there are other kingdoms on the earth, and they are worthy of our respect.
Yes,
you know,
humans are only one spoke in the wheel of life.
Absolutely.
You know, and so that's what humans, we seem to forget about that. It's very easy to let our egos get in the way and think that, oh, well, we're the important life form on this planet and everything else is just here for our use. And it's
right.
not like that at all. We couldn't survive without the plants and animals. The plants give us food and oxygen, and the animals give us companionship and food, and without them, we would not be able to survive. So, you know,
right.
we have to recognize that and honor them for their great gifts to our lives. Now, I wanted to, the things you were saying are summed up in there's a quote I want to give from The Path of Power that Sun Bear wrote. It says, you can pick out 10 bank presidents, 5 lawyers, and 8 housewives, sit them down around a campfire, and watch what happens to them. They grow quiet. They start mm-hmm. watching the flame and the fire and watching the coals turning different colors. Then all of a sudden you look at their faces and they're all turned back into cavemen and cavewomen. They all sit there and they say, ooh, and ah, and they say, isn't it beautiful? And their hearts come alive with something that reminds them that for thousands of years we lived close to the earth and truly we were brothers and sisters. You see, a bank president who in the outside world might shake your hand very coolly, you see him suddenly put his arm around your shoulder and lose all of his pretensions. He's actually been moved for a moment out of the realm of the untouchable society.
Uh-huh. Oh,
that is
beautiful.
So powerful.
Yes,
yes,
it is. And it's so true, too. I wonder how many of the people listening today have had that experience of sitting around a fire
mm-hmm.
and seeing how it made them feel, because it is magical.
Yes, it awakens something inside of us, some
right.
ancient memory, perhaps a cellular memory of a time when that's what we did. We sat around the campfire, we shared things together, and it was all done in love and harmony.
Yes. Yes. And being by water will, for some other people, have a very similar experience.
Mm-hmm.
I think that's why people go to the shore or have shore homes and things. But then now the shore is so built up, they don't get to mm-hmm. just be by the water that could rejuvenate them. I remember a couple of times being out by some of the lakes that were not very populated out west and just waking up and watching the dawn come over a lake is
oh, beautiful.
An experience
yes.
that is just breathtaking. And it makes you feel so much different than you do in your normal day-to-day life, so much more at part of the earth.
Yes. You have this sense that all is well, and
yes.
that it's just, yes, you're part of something so much bigger and more powerful and more loving and more kind than you have ever experienced before, that it just takes your breath away.
Yeah.
Yeah.
If people have never had those experiences, they're nice ones to try.
Yes. Everyone should experience that, really, truly. I have some property down in Arizona close to Lake Mojave. Well, it's a few miles away, but we used to go down when my son was a teenager, especially, and camp out, you know, by the lake and, you know, with our tents and a campfire. And it was just so wonderful. And I have seen that dawn with the sun coming up over the water, and it's just beautiful. And
beautiful.
You get a sense of the oneness of everything and of being part of the great spirit that moves in all things.
Mm-hmm.
So that's wonderful. Okay, well, now, one of my favorite books that you and Sun Bear wrote was Dancing with the Wheel, because it had so much wisdom about the earth, the energies of stones and plants and building the medicine wheel and working with those powers and energies. Tell me a little bit about how it must have taken a lot of research to put that book together.
It did. It was a challenging book because it's full of not only meditations and ceremonies, but also charts that tell you about your place on the medicine wheel. And mm-hmm. an important thing with the whole concept of the medicine wheel is, in a similar way to regular astrology, you are born into a position that gives you a mineral, plant, an animal totem, a spirit keeper, but you don't stay in that position. As you go through life, you move around the wheel, so you experience all the different positions that are on the wheel.
Mm-hmm.
And Dancing with the Wheel tells you a little bit about those, so you can tell where you are at any given time. And all the ceremonies in there are ceremonies that we did.
Mm-hmm. They're really wonderful ceremonies and rituals that people can incorporate into their daily life. And it makes your life so much fuller and so much more connected with nature to do that. I would recommend that book for anyone that wants to know more about living in harmony with the earth. Wonderful book.
Yes, I think it is very helpful, too. And a lot of people have used it. We're doing, I'm working with a woman who does regular astrology as well as earth astrology. She has medicinewheelastrology.com is her website, and every month she has something about what's happening in terms of the medicine wheel on that website. Her name is Star. And it's a very interesting site, and I am working with another woman to do the Medicine Wheel Earth Astrology website that will basically be a clearinghouse for all the people who are doing things with the Medicine Wheel
mm-hmm.
that I know about, and I would encourage people who are doing things that I don't know about to get in touch with me and let me know, so that when we actually open that website, it can be part of it. And this particular woman, Jennifer Frist, is also traveling around with another woman, Susie Waters Benjamin, who now goes by Suchi, who studied with Sun Bear too, and they're doing medicine wheel workshops for young women. And I think
Great.
That's a wonderful thing.
It is, because we do, our young women seem to be caught right now in the middle between feminism and going back to some of the ideas of the 50s, where a woman, you know, stayed home. And it's like we worked so hard to get free of some of the things back then, but jumping out and the freedom and having to compete like a man in the workplace also, you know, caused problems with our growth and everything. So now it seems like they're looking for a middle road where they are both a woman and free and strong.
Right.
And I think the medicine wheel would teach them a lot.
Yes, I think it would too. And I think you can do everything you want to. You may not be able to do it all at the same time, however. And again, that comes back to the cycle of life and the circle of life and being willing to change. You know, maybe when you're a mother of a young child, you put your energy into that. And then when your child is established, you can go back to doing other parts of your vision. And I don't care who spends that time with the young child. It can be mom, it can be dad. Yeah, it can be two dads, two moms. Just there needs to be somebody who is being responsible for nurturing
the child. And a sense of family, that they are surrounded with family that loves them, that cares about them.
Mm-hmm. Yes. Yeah.
Well, you know, in Native American teachings, I know it's just some of the tribes that are really, they really empower their women. For instance, the Apaches, their largest celebration of the year is when they have this big festival to celebrate the young women that reached their puberty during that year. Okay? Yes, and their moon time came that year, and they celebrate this because only woman can bring new life into the world, and it was considered a sacred thing, and so this is a powerful, wonderful thing that has happened, and you know, that is such such a departure from what the Caucasian culture believes about women, and you know, you don't hear them celebrating something like that, but I think it's so important to recognize woman's role, how important woman is, and that you know, the future depends on women bringing new life into the world.
Right.
And then I've had Brooke Medicine Eagle on a couple of times, and she talks about the grandmother right for women reaching that age where they're welcomed into the grandmother society in some tribes.
Right, the grandmother lodge. Brooke is an old friend of mine, and in fact, I'm also her literary agent. So we've known each other for, gosh, probably 30 years now.
Yeah. Well, I first met her at one of Sunbear's gatherings in, I think it was Desert Springs, California, 1989 or somewhere in that, 89 or 90. And I just love her. She's very inspiring and very, has a beautiful voice and a beautiful way of expressing herself.
Absolutely, she does. And I love her concepts of the Grandmother Lodge, which I am definitely and firmly into. And I went into it because I had to. I had to have a hysterectomy when I was in my early 40s. And I actually went into the operating room reading Brooke's article that we had in our magazine, Wildfire Magazine, about going into the Grandmother Lodge early. And that some women were being called to do that because there was a need for grandmothers.
Mm-hmm.
And now that I have what they call the white hair on my head, I'm definitely in the Grandmother Lodge and old enough to have an opinion. And I have quite a few of them.
Well,
and my next book is going to be about those opinions, about love, about children, about family.
Wobbin, we're sort of running out of time here. How can people reach you or get to you? What's your website?
It is just my name, wobbinwin.com.
Okay. And Wobbin is the great eagle spirit keeper of the East. That's why Sunbear gave you that name, right?
A name is something to live up to, not something that you are, but something to live up to.
Well, you've certainly flown high on the eagle's wings. Thank you so
Thank
much
you.
for joining us today. I'd love to have you on again sometime in the future.
I
And I
really
wish you
enjoyed
luck
talking with
with
you. Happy
all
Earth
that you
renewal. Happy New
Yeah.
Age.
Okay. Thank you. And the same to you. And for
Thank
all
you.
my listeners, thank you for joining us today. May the sun kiss your face. May the waters bless your body. And may all nature sing in your presence.